Welcome back, folks. On this Friday, the 9th day of December, 2022, I'm your host, Mark Allen. I got to start off the news this week with an apology, kind of, sort of, because honestly, it's been one of those weeks. I've had all kinds of equipment failures and have literally been trying to patch things up while other things are breaking. I guess the problem is so much of it seems to come from communist China, and it just doesn't last like you'd expect, even if you try to buy the kind of things that you, if you believe the specs, think should. In any case, there is a lot going on, and what I'm going to do is intersperse some of the news that I did earlier today on the Drive Time Friday show with David Justice, along with a couple of new items that will hopefully fill in some of the gaps. So here we go. And we'll start with the latest slap in the face by the Biden regime to the American people. The summary I'm looking at comes from PJ Media, and it says, "Meet the Merchant of Death." And this is a reference to the fact that the Biden Fuhrer and the regime just traded for a Russian arms dealer, one of the most notorious on the planet, Viktor Bout. He's known as the Merchant of Death, in order to release Brittany Griner. Comment on that, if you would, David. Tell us a little bit of the background, what you're thinking.
Well, sorry, I don't have a lot of the background. I know that the character that they pulled out is very anti-American, very anti-conservative, anti-truth. And she was arrested for some drug deal that she was involved in over in Russia. She's a professional athlete.
Oh, wait a second. You're not talking about the Merchant of Death. You're talking about the other side of the trade. Let's make everybody make sure we're clear on that. Go, yeah, but continue.
Oh, you mean the Merchant of Death, the arms dealer.
Well, it could have been either one. I mean, basically, it's like whose bad guy is better. It's which tells you a little bit about where we are, doesn't it?
Well, they traded for a Russian's arm dealer, big time, and got a professional athlete and left a Marine in jail over there. So I don't know what more there is to say. I want to dignify it with much conversation, except it just seems like it's just one more thing to stick their finger in our eye and provoke us to anger, to provoke us in some way, or to perpetuate the chaos that ultimately they want. See, they have the advantage here. Chaos is easy. Order is not so easy. We're on the side of the rule of law and order. They're on the side of tear it down and cover their butts, because they're in so deep into this evil. And so as long as they can, again, obfuscate what's really going on, they can continue in their agenda, which is to bring us to our knees so that we'll be happy to accept their monetary system no matter what.
Well, we'll come back to that in a second. But since we're talking about rubbing people's noses in it, let me pull this story up. I hadn't thought about the connection, but when you started talking there, I realized, oh yeah, this is right in the same ballpark. Biden's kinky they, them, that's the multiple pronoun, nuke official. Now, this is the scumbag, basically, that's into puppy love, that got caught snagging a high-end, designer bag from the luggage carousel. Now he has been charged with yet another airport theft. Maybe there was some good female underwear in there or something. But anyway, the headline here I like. It's not just that he has been caught again, or maybe given that he's been caught once, you know that there's probably lots of other similar ones. But it says in the story, if only the puppy play aficionado had given the regime even a little bit of clue as to his aberrant tendencies. Maybe this could have been avoided.
Well, trees known by its fruit, and the fact that he's been caught twice now prompts me to wonder just how many times he's gotten away with it.
Sure.
Makes me wonder.
Well, you got to figure
they've been watching, because him and his ilk have gotten away with stealing so many of them, and we've always chalked it up to just lost luggage.
But the thing is, I mean, the bigger picture here is not whether this guy is a nutcase and aberrant, as they put it, and a whole bunch of other things. The key is that this is his really only qualification, and that's true of so many others. Bud is gay, you know, the transportation secretary. Doesn't know anything about transportation, but he can tell you about gay puppy love. Well, no, I guess he has to go to his partner in crime to do that. If there are people that are essentially incapable of doing the job, but they have something particularly kinky that they can say, hey, this is the first bisexual puppy love parent aficionado that likes to have multiple, who knows? Well, that will be the thing that will make the headlines. Forget the fact that they don't know anything about what they're doing, but I guess that makes it better because then you can get away with stuff. And that's precisely what we're seeing too. I got one more. This one, if you haven't seen this, this is pretty disgusting. There is a there's a story out of the Project Veritas. Took me just a second to come up with it. James O'Keefe's organization, Project Veritas, a Chicago private school principal basically bragging about how he just loves selling kink to kiddies during LGBTQ month. And I'm not even going to read the story on air because basically the kindest word in here that these people, this scumbag says he just loves teaching to kids is how they brought the LGBTQ folks in. They had the drag queens. They passed out cookies. Oh yeah. And they passed out sex toys, dildos, and butt plugs so that they could show the little kiddies how they work and tell them, what do you think about this? This is the kind of stuff, David, you say, well, this is because they don't want to teach them how to read, write, and use their brains. Sorry, it just infuriates me that this is being done to kids, and they're proud of it.
Well, the agenda is to conquer from within by dividing us against each other so we're not speaking and so that they can get away with the crimes against humanity up to and including their human trafficking and grooming of in the world of pedophilia. And you know, if we weren't living through this, my mind is has a hard time accepting that it's real, but we're witnessing it. And it was only an imagination that could ever get this bad. It was one of those things that I used to be in denial about, that it could ever look like this. And here we are, and it's an agenda, and it's real. And if anything, it should be provoking us to, you know, ask for an understanding of truth so that we know how to navigate our way through this complete chaos.
Well, and you're right. And it's also yet another indication of why it is that we need to be saying, okay, hey, what's it going to take? How long are people going to put up with this stuff? I do want to take just a quick break for a couple of pieces of, I won't call them good news, but they're at least less bad news. My jaw hit the floor, says one. Elon Musk announced Tuesday that he had fired the former scumbag, so-called FBI attorney James Baker, who came to Twitter from where else? The FBI, to serve as deputy general counsel. And he has been fired after he supposedly vetted evidence, information, that essentially they were kept in the dark. Supposedly the Twitter upper management was kept in the dark about, with the exception of some of them, I'm sure. And unbeknownst to Musk, this guy has been knee-deep in all of this skullduggery and scumbaggery for a long time. In light of concerns about Baker's possible role in the suppression of information important to the public dialogue, he was exited. Yeah, don't let the door hit you in the butt, you scumbag, on the way out. From Twitter today, Musk wrote earlier in the week.
Well, by inference, you know, let's look deeper. Just the fact that James Baker, who happened to be counsel for the FBI
and for Comey, too, who loved the guy, and guess why?
And so the fact that he's working for Twitter, it connects the dot that Twitter has been being used as a information platform for the spying on the American people. There's little to no question left that it was a control mechanism to control the narrative and to, by censoring truth and open conversation and by promoting an agenda that is completely anti-truth.
It's exactly
the opposite of how Twitter was sold originally as it was represented to the American people originally.
What aspect
it's
of
always
the
digital
been,
it's
public
just,
square?
It's the same with all of the other social networks, Facebook, YouTube. They're all governmental means of spying and getting evidence on the people for whatever purpose they choose. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, the second installment of the Twitter files has been released. I guess the bottom line here is that the more we find out about it, the more we realize, hey, yet again, the conspiracy theorists were right all along. Twitter was, as you said, supposed to be something very different than it turned out to be, which is part of the control grid or well into the core. So everything that comes out just says no surprise. It wasn't like we didn't know this before. I mentioned two pieces of good news. This one is at least interesting good news. Fresh off their victory lap in Georgia, where exactly as everybody knew they were going to do, the left stole another race and then stole the Senate, securing their 51-49 majority. Uh-oh. Now, this is not the one Manchin that people thought it might be, but Kyrsten Sinema has basically said, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Quote, I'm tired of the partnership. And she has, no, she didn't switch to Republicans. She's, after all, still pretty far left. But she is going independent. So it's kind of a semi-gut punch, as the story puts it. I'm registered as an independent now. Some people might be surprised, but it makes a lot of sense. She said to, who else? The leftist Jake Tapper. I've never fit into a party box. I've never really tried to. Okay, well, she gets at least partial credit for realizing that she might not want to be identified with those who are trying to destroy the country openly. Go ahead.
Well, treason, you know, when everybody's involved in treason, none dare call it treason. Same with conspiracy. You know, we've got a choice. We're at a crossroads. We've been at a crossroads for a long time. It's just that now it's becoming so obvious. You know, we get to choose whether we're going to pursue truth or whether we're going to pursue a narrative that leads us into total chaos. So it's refreshing to see at least a Democrat that realizes that she's been leaning toward the party line and she wants to break away from that. I don't think it's going to be enough.
No.
But, you know, it's a good story.
Again, there's no political solution to a spiritual problem, and the economic problem at this point is beyond salvation, truly. The United States dollar is dead, stick a fork in it. Egypt this week announced they were going to go to the BRICS-oriented banking type system. Essentially, we're seeing the chinks come apart now, and the wall is coming down. The dollar is all but a dead man walking. Yeah, it looks strong. That's kind of the way that the tide moves out before the tsunami comes in. It's strong because the Fed is trying to raise interest rates and make it look better because it pays more against inflation than all the other currencies. But they're all fiat. Oh, well, with one potential exception that's working its way to the fore, and that, of course, is the Russian ruble, which is now increasingly. They've been talking about this for months, but they keep moving towards making it gold-backed.
Go ahead. Well, I think that he did declare to be gold back. He'll take gold or the ruble, which is backed by gold, for in exchange for oil. So he's breaking away from the status quo.
Yeah, and bear in mind, it's not the same thing as what it truly means to be gold back. They're not there yet, but they're moving in that direction. Gold back. Remember, I was in a coin store this week for a few minutes. It was kind of funny to go look, even though I've seen them, to see the pieces of paper sitting there. You could buy some silver certificates or gold certificate, and basically. Basically, gold back means it says pay to the bearer. Here's a $10 U.S. gold certificate. Pay to the bearer, $10 in literally the weight of gold. And that was back when the dollar was actually redeemable for gold. Now that's why what was in those days $20 for the ounce is, let's just say, a whole heck of a lot more and going higher because it's the dollar going down.
Yeah, just so the audience really understands what we mean when we use the word fiat. I like to sum it up like this. The word fiat means because we say so. In other words, legislation is passed declaring a private note to have the same value as actual value that, for instance, in a commodity like gold. So fiat is merely a legislative or an executive decree declaring something to be money or currency. And I think that this is how they've managed to get around the scriptural prohibitions against usury and the, you know, requirement for a seven-year Sabbath, cancellation of debt and 50-year jubilee. I think because we've gone into this private currency system that the people that issue the notes retain control of the notes so they can decide how the notes are circulating in an economy. And that's the only way I can make sense out of how our religious institutions, Christian and Judaism, and all those people that profess to believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that, you know, we have one Father in heaven, how they can get around the economic prohibitions and requirements that would keep an economy stable.
So
as long as we're operating under a private Federal Reserve system, a private global currency system, we will be forever in bondage to the will of this private entity that issues them, Mark.
Okay, well, I agree with you all, except for the part about how they get around, quote-unquote, the biblical prohibitions. And the answer is they just ignore it. They just ignore the Constitution now, too. They've moved so far away that they're not even pretending. But the way that the whore church, and I use that term explicitly, especially in this context, the way they have gotten away from it is just simply to say, hey, the law's done away with. Nailed to the cross. You can't keep that Torah thing anyway, so don't even try. Besides, the world wouldn't work if we couldn't violate God's law. And, you know, what do we care about the inscription on the Liberty Bell that actually came from the Bible that says, proclaim liberty throughout the land?
Well, we don't have that because we're operating under a private system of law. There's a constitutional system where the American people are autonomous, they're sovereign, and they, through the Constitution, they set up governments that serve us. Then there's the one that's set up through private contracts, contractual obligations and quid pro quos, that the entangling alliances with other individuals, other nations, private institutions like the World Economic Forum, like the NIH, like the CDC, which are not government, but because of the contracts and the treaties that the government enters into with these people, they create another law form, and inside that law form it's a non-constitutional law form. It's, so the Constitution, this is how we have been able to that's how they've been able to get us to abandon the Constitution, is because we prefer the comfort of all these private agreements and the allure and the seduction and all the temptations that come with the monies and the strings attached to these private agreements. And so
exactly,
we have the nations of the world, by relying on these private organizations, have established another branch of government, which is basically total control. I like to use the term admiralty jurisdiction, because it's run like just like you would on a ship. There's rules and you got procedures, and they set up a commercial code to govern all transactions. So it's this extra constitutional reality that they've established, and inside that narrative, they're taking control of the world.
Yep.
Go ahead,
no,
Mark.
No doubt. Well, the way I put it is, it's literally just private law. And you're right, it's called admiralty law, law of the sea, as opposed to law of the land. Lots of ways to make the same point. But ultimately, the way Yeshua said it was, you can't serve two masters. You know, choose this day whom you will serve. If you love one, you'll hate the other. And Paul says, you are that one slave who you submit yourselves to obey. Over and over again, the Bible tells us, hey, you can choose the law of this world, Satan's law. He's run the planet for, you know, however many millennia at this point. Or you can choose the one that the Creator wrote for us in genuine print, that back when we had a Constitution, it actually had a lot of elements that were consistent with it. So we've moved so far from that there's not even any question. There was a piece from John Whitehead this week. I like his work. He's a constitutionalist, and he's essentially writing, look, those that are all upset claiming that Trump said the Constitution needed to be done away with. No, I don't think they can read. Trump is not particularly articulate when it comes to some things, and he said something about the Constitution being done away with. Well, really, what he was saying, what he should have said, is it's already been done away with. The fruit is what you can see. So the point is, people get all bent out of shape about, oh no, Trump said that the Constitution needs to be done away with. No, he's making an observation of what's already happened. He just didn't put it very well. But on the other hand, that's because most people are totally blind to the fact that it's been dead for decades. Go ahead, David.
Well, so the public education, indoctrination system hasn't taught some of the fundamental principles of American jurisprudence, such as one nation under God. What does that actually mean? It means that the foundation of America is the same foundation that Israel had. There was a covenant that the people entered into with God, and that covenant is truth. And inside that covenant, the Declaration of Independence was written and governments were established basically to serve the people in their capacity as autonomous entities within the body of Christ. Yes, that is a factual, legal, foundational principle upon which America was built. But that's not taught in the church. It's not taught in any of the schools. And as a result, we're now, we don't understand as a people, we don't understand what the Constitution is. We don't understand that it's actually an establishment of government and a grant of power and a restriction on the power granted. And we call those rights, but they're actually limitations. And so the whole point of the Constitution was to restrain the power of government, to limit it so that it doesn't become a dictator, so that it doesn't become a tyrant, so it stays within the bounds of an operation, because otherwise government is pure force, as Washington said, fearful master and a dangerous servant. So in the process of not knowing the Constitution, another law has infiltrated, and we find ourselves giving allegiance to that other law form. And it is a law that brings us into total bondage. And the result is much different than the allure that seduced us to get into this original contract outside the constitutional scope of power. But here we are, and this is, you know, we reap what we sow, and the, you know, so the law world has sown this new venue, this neo conservative, neo-democratic, neo-republican albatross that is now
it's fascism,
enslaving
us. Yeah. It's literal fascism because it's a public-private partnership. It's a combination of law.
It is.
And if you think about it, it's a beautiful system if your goal is tyranny, because essentially they can say, hey, this is a public organization, and therefore there are rules that you must follow. But when it comes time to say, oh, well, but you don't have any rights in here, not the right to be free of illegal search and seizure, to keep and bear arms, to speak, to worship your God. Why? Because it's private. So it's private when it suits us. It's public when it suits us. How long have we been seeing that with, say, oh, I don't know, two Facebook or any of the other big socialist partners that can say, well, I'm private, so I don't have to obey your rules, but you have to obey my rules. Isn't that sweet? So let's go to the end of the hour today with this story from Susan Duclos via the All News Pipeline concerning the spate of recent attacks on the power grid. Hey, if the EMPs don't get you and the CMEs don't, those that are still relying on the grid may find local attacks will do it instead. Back in June 2021, it begins. ANP and a number of other outlets reported that Energy Secretary, sick, Jennifer Granholm, admitted that cybersecurity attacks against our national electric grid are, quote, happening all the time. Prior to that, we, says ANP, and that would mean your host here too, and the late Dr. Peter Pry, warned of the devastating loss of life that would come with an EMP attack and or a prolonged power grid down scenario. And the National Research Council has warned that the U.S. power grid is vulnerable to, quote, intelligent multi-site attacks by knowledgeable attackers intent on causing maximum physical damage to key components on a wide geographical scale. Between 2002 and 2012, about 2,500 physical attacks occurred against power transmission lines and towers worldwide. About 500 attacks were against transformer substations. And we've been repeatedly warned, notes the piece, by experts that the grid is vulnerable in a number of ways, not just cyber and EMP attacks, but also individual physical attacks. So fast forward now to the first week in December this year, and we've seen targeted shooting attacks against two substations in North Carolina, leaving tens of thousands without electricity amid freezing temperatures. And just a couple of days later, it's been reported that five more power substations were attacked on the left coast in Oregon and Washington State all the way back in November. So I guess you could call it a wake-up call. And regardless of who the bad guys are here, folks, and there are certainly plenty of them, including so many that have three-letter agencies and official ID cards, it's time for Americans to start waking up and realizing if you're not prepared for what's coming one way or another, or maybe even all of those ways, you're literally a sitting duck. And one last comment, too. I can't help but note that people have stated for years that if there was going to be a civil war in this country, and it looks like we're heading there, it might end up not being North versus South, or even perhaps liberal or communist versus constitutional or conservative, call it whatever you want, but rural versus the cesspool cities. And from there, it's not too great of a leap to realize one of the things that the rural people might end up deciding to do is the old-fashioned city siege. Just cut off the power and let the people inside the various gun-free killing zones have at each other. Thanks, have a blessed weekend, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.